Who have we got in now?
We have got Peter Blackburn, who's the director, and Mark Davis, who's the actor of a play that's called Next Fall. Hello, boys.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Now, and as always, we like to start off with who you are and how did you get to this moment in time. So, Peter, you know, like you're directing this play, and you know, like, and they're rehearsing right this very moment. But yeah, as you said, you've made yourself obsolete; that you don't
Absolutely.
Have to be there anymore. What was your beginning?
Well, I had quite an eclectic, road to directing. But I guess first, like many directors, I was an actor, not a very successful one, but I had a great passion for it and really enjoyed it. But I actually went into teaching, and I taught literature and media here and overseas for about 7 years. And then through teaching, came back to actor training and actor coaching, dramaturgy, my students seemed to think that I knew what I was doing, and I started to direct, coming out of people producing their own work in the classes.
And how long have you been directing now?
I've been directing now for 5 years.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Just here in Australia? Or?
No, I've been... I've done a lot of independent work in Australia, but I've worked a couple of times over with the Australian Theatre Company in Los Angeles.
Right, okay. Yeah. What on?
So I worked on Holding the Man. I assistant directed that with the wonderful Larry Moss, who's best known as Leonardo DiCaprio's acting coach, and he's a wonderful, gifted and passionate man. But then I directed a show called Reuben Guthrie last year. I directed that myself, and it was a huge hit in Los Angeles, and we won a slew of awards, and that was exciting. Yeah.
Excellent. So, Mark, follow on from that. You know, like how have you scored as an actor? It's got to be better than that, because otherwise you're out.
Oh, it's heaps better. I didn't start acting until I was probably 25. Before that, I had always wanted to be an actor, but I was I was a closeted actor for a long time. I did not.
How did you closet act?
I kind of just wanted to, and I never really...
You wouldn't stand in front of the mirror and read Shakespeare?
I started reading. I had this... Someone gave... I think I found like a monologue book, and I'd started working it without really knowing much about it. And because I was kind of a jock growing up, and I played a lot of sport. And then when I got into my 20s, and I really, really wanted to do drama studies, and I just didn't know where to look or how to go about it, and... I was playing so much sport, and I actually got hit by a car, which put a stop to everything. And I then one day was like, okay, I'm going to go and, go to acting classes. And I think I told a lot of my friends that I was still going to hockey training, when actually I was going to classes to learn how to act.
Okay.
That's where we met. Yeah. Which is, that's where we met. And
you mentioned off air that this play, the reading of it, was the first time that you actually went on stage.
Yeah, that's right. That was 4.5 years ago. We did a rehearsed reading of it at Chapel Off Chapel, same venue that we're working at. So it's really sort of, come a full circle. And then and Pete had, given me the opportunity to work on that with some other really good actors. And we worked on it. And fortunately, I'm still the right age to play it now. So I get a second chance.
Right. And the reason you're not here today, you can be here today, is why?
In the present time during the play, I am in a coma.
Right. So you're not required.
So I'm not required for some of the scenes, although I'm the main character, I should say.
Right. Of course you are. Of course you are.
For the coma scenes, the guys are working on those right now.
Right.
And then, in the present, in a lot of the stuff, it sort of goes back in time, and it looks at a relationship which has gone over 5 years, and that's where I get to do my actoring.
Actoring.
Yeah.
And not in the closet anymore. No. Peter, give us a bit of a synopsis about what the play's about.
It's a...
We'll start off, where did it all come, where did the play come from?
Well, the play is, it was off Broadway, as many theatre, plays begin their infancy, and it caught the eye of Elton John and his partner. Yeah, the singer, he might go somewhere. and he'd done... Billy Elliot had adapted that as a musical, and that had been a success. And obviously, the Lion King had been a success for him. And so this was his first play. There wasn't a musical that he wanted to put his considerable talents and clout behind. And he really resonated with the story. It's about in a very surreptitious way, it's about marriage equality, but it's not an overtly political play. The term marriage equality is never used, but it's certainly the subtext. You know, this is about a couple, as you know, Mark was just saying, who we look at 5 years of their life struggling, as couples struggle. They have a particular struggle because Mark's character is he's in a coma in the present day, in the past. He's a Christian, which some people might think is similar to being in a coma. No, that's horrible. Whoa. Joking. No, he wouldn't. No, it's actually a very it's a wonderfully compassionate look at the differences in relationship, much more than I am, apparently. And so it's about how an atheistic Jewish intellectual and a Christian devout man come together and live a gay lifestyle, right, in an America that's kind of divided. So it really is about the two Americas, the South and the North, the Christian, the secular, the urban and the rural kind of coming together. And they come together because of the accident. So this accident in present time brings all of the people in Luke's life who represent this great divide in America. And it finds a way of bringing bringing some sort of connection between those people. It's I can see why Elton John would have seen this and went, this is what we need.
And how did it go in America?
Huge. It was nominated for the Tony. It was a very small play in many ways, to be nominated for the Tony for Best Play, and the Drama Desk Awards. It went huge, and then it's had productions around the world. The producer of this, Darren Redgate, who's also the star and playing Adam.
He's rehearsing now.
He's being a good person. He produced the Australian premiere in Sydney, and then we're completely remounting the show here in Melbourne with a new cast, new director, new designers, all of that. Right. And so it's the Melbourne premiere, and right, we're doing wonderful things with it.
Okay. So, Mark, you know, like you read it when it had its first reading, but then you didn't get the part.
No, well, what happened was it actually never made it to being staged. So we did the rehearsed reading, which was part of the Midsummer Festival.
Yep.
And then we got really excited about it, and there was an issue with the rights, and it never became my first play.
Right. Were you disappointed when it opened in Sydney and you weren't part of it?
I was actually pretty heartbroken because it would have been my first play and it meant a lot to me. And, it was sad that I then had to wait a year or two till I actually had my stage debut.
Right. And how did it come up? How did you get the part? You know, like, were you aware that it was coming down here and thought, I'm going to get this part?
In a roundabout way, I've known Peter for a long while, but he was doing a play last year, and one of his actors wasn't able to fulfill the role. He had a conflict in his personal life, so I got the call up because I'd actually done that play before, so I stepped in last minute and helped Pete out. And
what was that?
It was a play called Orphans by Lyle Kessler.
Oh, yeah, I know that.
Yeah, so I played Philip in that, and I had done it a year before, so I was able to step in with about a week to go.
Uh-huh.
And jump in the deep and help out and keep the show going. So I saved the show for Pete.
Right. Now what's it like working with somebody as your director that you obviously know fairly well?
Yeah.
Does that make it just that little bit extra special, and you push yourself a little bit harder, or are you a slacky and you're a naughty boy most of the time?
Slipping through the role, I hear.
Yeah.
Boom, boom.
it's really great. Pete and I have I know we sort of have the same sort of sense of humor. There's a lot of Simpsons jokes on set. We just have a good sort of banter back and forth. We've spoken about it before. We are a little brother-like, and, you know, I can see sort of things like, you know, my brother in Pete, and likewise. So, we're good friends, and right. He's also my director, so I respect him.
oh, how nice. So Peter, it's playing at the Loft at Chapel.
That's correct.
Which is not a huge theatre, but it's
135 seats.
But it's a nice theatre, yeah. Isn't it? You everyone's pretty close, aren't they?
Yeah, it's fantastic. It's just one of those. It's one of those great intimate, mid-sized theatres that Melbourne does great. You know, it's, you don't get swamped on those really large stages. People don't have to be mic'd. I like hearing the actors' voices. Yep. It's something that I.
How many's in the cast?
There's six people.
Right.
In the cast, we have a fabulous cast from Karen Fairfax is probably one who's kind of known to many of your listeners because she's a kind of doyen of the Australian theatre world, particularly here in Melbourne. A newcomer straight out of VCA who I worked with when I was doing my masters there. In the last couple of years, and Jimmy Biasetto, who's just beautiful in one of the roles as a closeted gay man, and bringing some just really beautiful, tender things to the role.
Mm, excellent. It sounds. I can't wait to see it.
It's fantastic.
It's really exciting, especially the parts when Mark's asleep through it. So it's at Chapel Off Chapel, the Loft, from the 12th of July.
That's right.
Yeah. And it only runs till the 30th, so there's not much time.
Three weekends, get in, and we are anticipating that the tickets will be talking about the size. Talking about the size of the theatre, we have decided we are going to open up the front row because we were thinking, we don't want to be too close, but we are opening that. So there are more tickets available, especially for opening night, which was getting closed. So if you're quick, you can get those opening night tickets, which is always pretty special.
Okay.
Get in quick because we do think it is a limited season and there'll be a lot of interest. So.
And it's called the...
It's called Next Fall.
Next Fall.
Yeah.
So get down to Chapel Off Chapel at the Loft from July 12th. Thanks, guys, for coming in, and all the very best with this play because it seems quite a personal thing for both of you, isn't it?
It is. Particularly in light of recent events, a number of recent events, but when Margaret Court's comments caused such... controversy a couple of weeks ago. I remember I was reading the paper on a Sunday morning, and I took to social media to just go, you know what? I didn't ask to get up today and have my lifestyle, which is not even a lifestyle. I didn't get up wanting my identity to be attacked, and suddenly on open slather is anybody from Sydney to Broome being able to comment on my personal identity because a bigot decided that she wanted to have a crack at civil liberties that are taken for granted by much of the straight community. It's an embarrassment that a marriage equality is still an issue in 2017 in Australia. And hopefully this play puts a human face to the politics and actually makes people start to think about what the consequences are when you deny human liberties to equal love.
Good on you. You're on Joy 94.9. This is Sunday Arts Magazine.